Again, I'm Pastor Brendan. I'm the Family Life Pastor. Pastor John is on vacation, a much-needed vacation. Thank you, sir. When you say table for one in here, man, it's taken care of. Over in the kids' area, they make me do my own stuff. So, yes, I work with the kids here. Pastor John, like I said, is on vacation. So hope he's having a good time, and pray for safe travels for him and Patrice. Real quick, I do have something I want to mention, and I'll try to remember to mention this again at the end. But, you know, we've been having Onward go on, right? New kids wing over there, and it's coming together pretty well. Well, this week it sounds like there's going to be carpet. The problem is the guy that runs the kids stuff around here, he has a lot of junk in this one room that we need to move. So if there's some people that want to hang around after service, just real quick, we're moving it from here to about here. So that we can get carpet this week. So if you have some time, love for you to come over and help us. We got some great junk. I mean, you want to see some of it. We got toilet paper shooters, you know. I mean, I'm just saying. So if you're interested, we would love for your help. I also wanted to mention on Easter, Ryan already talked about Easter coming up. We're going to be baptizing on that day. I just think that's going to be awesome. Baptism is one of my favorite things because it's one of the few spiritual steps you can actually physically see. And so I think that's awesome. And so there is a baptism class going on April 10th. That's a Wednesday night if you are interested. So again, very cool to get baptized on Easter. It's cool to get baptized anytime, but come on, Easter too. That's pretty neat. All right. Well, I'm going to start off today, you know, with spring break coming up and everything. I just know everyone, you know, is just ready for a very uplifting and exciting message, you know, something that just brings you joy and makes you laugh the whole time. So we're going to talk about all the trials and troubles of the Israelites in the wilderness. Okay? I thought that seemed so appropriate to just be really joyful. But actually today, as we talk about that, I'm hoping it encourages some of us as we talk about their trials. But first, I've got some questions for you before we get started. My first question for you is this. Why don't we just give the keys to the car to our kids? At any moment, just say, you know what? I need some ice cream from the store. I'm tired. Just take it. Why don't we do that? Why don't we just give them the keys? Whenever. Not to wait till they're 16. Six seems right. Why not? Five? I mean, if they've got blocks on their shoes, they can borrow mine if they don't have them, okay? So why don't we do that? Why don't we let the new employee run the $60,000 machine? Why don't we just throw him in there? You can tell that's a $60,000 computer by how big it is, okay? Why don't we just throw him in there? No training, just do it. Just go for it. What could go wrong? Just let him run the thing on his first day. It'll be fine. I mean, what could possibly happen? He's fine. He's fine. See, he's getting his exercise. Why don't we just set a bottle next to a newborn baby? Why can't they handle that on themselves, right? Just give it to them. They'll know what to do. It's just natural. They're going to get hungry, right? So why are there endless amounts of warning labels on products and signs everywhere? Why do we have all of those things? If you can't read the bottom, it says, also the bridge is out ahead. Okay? Why do we have all of these things? Why don't we give the keys away? Set the bottle there, let him just go after the new machine. Why do we have to have all these warning signs? Because we all need training. We all need to know what we don't know, because what we don't know can hurt us sometimes, and it certainly can keep us from being the very best that we can be. So the Israelites that we're going to talk about today, they were making a roughly 313-mile journey. I didn't step it off, but it's roughly that far, okay, from where they started to where they were going in the Promised Land. Now, again, we're talking millions of people walking together, okay? So maybe an 11-day-ish journey. I don't know exactly, but in that range, it definitely shouldn't have taken 40 years like it did, okay? But it took 40 years for them to get this 313 miles that they needed to go. And why did they have to do that? Why did it take 40 years? Because they needed training. God wanted them to be the very best that they could be. He was looking out for them, even though it doesn't seem like it. And we're going to talk about that today. So let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this day, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you care about us, that you are concerned about us, that you are with us in everything, Father. And I pray, Lord, as we talk about the Israelites, Lord, that we would learn something about our own situations, our own wilderness that we might be going through, have gone through, or will go through, Lord. And I pray, Father, that as we look at some of the things that we can learn from them, we'll apply it to our lives, Lord. And through that application, we will just always have the joy of the Lord in our heart, on our face, so that others will see that, Lord. It's in your name I pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to start off in Exodus 13. We're going to look at verses 17 and 18. And this is what it says. Now, when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said, the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Verse 18, hence God led the people around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea, and the sons of Israel went up in martial array from the land of Egypt. We're going to go back up to 17 for a second. God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near, basically the shortest route, okay? That was the shortest route. For God said the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. All right, so let's look at this for a second. God didn't send them the easiest way, the shortest way, I guess I should say easiest might not be the right word, the shortest distance because of the land of the Philistines. The Philistines, obviously, we see them many times in the Bible, a thorn in the side of the Israelites for many years. But God didn't want their first days of freedom. He didn't want them to see war. He didn't want to see them have them see an overwhelming enemy, you know, right out of the gate. This was a people that had only known slavery up to this point. Survival was really their main objective in their life so far. That had been their priority, was just survival. So an immediate strong enemy right in their way would not have been maybe the best thing for them. So the easy question is, why didn't God just eliminate the Philistines? That seems a lot easier than walking around for 40 years. Just let God go through and wipe them out, or have them, you know, at a block party down the street when the Israelites are walking through. Why did they have to be there? Why couldn't God just get rid of them? Because this path they could have taken, the shortest route, had rivers. No rivers they would have had to cross, by the way, so the Red Sea wouldn't have had to happen because it was all land. But there were rivers that they could have gotten to, get fresh water. They could have fished if they'd gone a little bit to the north, you know, in the sea. They could have taken just the, you know, the beachfront property and fished all their way to the promised land and been fine. They could have done that. They could have done that. That probably would have been easiest if the Philistines weren't there. It definitely would have been the shortest. But I have found in my own life, I won't put this on you, but I'm going to tell you what happens with me. When things are easy, I just enjoy it. I don't learn anything. I don't actually go the extra mile. It's easy. It's already done for me. Why would I learn anything? Why won't I don't need faith to be comfortable if I'm comfortable, right? I just settle in. It's easy. I don't grow. I don't do anything. It's life is smooth, right? So when things are easy, we don't really push ourselves. Oh, sorry. I don't really push myself, right? Because you just enjoy it. And even if you do push yourself, when things, you know, at the beginning of easy, eventually you become kind of complacent, right? It's like, yeah, it's comfortable. I'm good. I don't need to do that. Everything's fine. So that's why I think God didn't make it easy. But we'll get to that here in a second. So here's the wilderness experience of the Israelites, just in a nutshell. First thing out of the gate, they're chased by Pharaoh and the sea parts, right? The Red Sea parts. Then they complain. They complain a lot, off and on. But they also write all of these songs of God's greatness and goodness of what he does for them in the wilderness. And they get thirsty, and God provides water out of rocks. That's not normal, in case you're wondering, okay? And they get hungry, and all of a sudden this bread-like stuff called manna just appears for them. They get tired of just manna, so now quail show up. So they get to eat quail. They just sit there, let them catch them, right? It's amazing. There's war, but God gives them victory. Now, these weren't folks that had an army. Remember, they were in slavery in Egypt, but they won because of God. The people rebel because they really don't think things are going the way they think things should go, and they make an idol because that's what they knew in the past, and they thought, we'll just have this idol. That God up there is not working. We're going to make our own God, and they do that. Bad move, by the way, in case you haven't read the story. And God also gives them the Ten Commandments. He gives them, you know, the idea of how to live, gives them some instruction, some training. God gives them the tabernacle, explains how to build it so that there can be communication between him and them. I mean, some great things happened in the wilderness, and some horrible things happened in the wilderness. A lot of times, tough circumstances found them out there. Sometimes, they self-inflicted themselves with tough circumstances. They did things they shouldn't have that caused them more problems than they would have had they just stayed out of their own way. Sound familiar? Happens to me all the time. The point of this wilderness experience, I believe, is the Israelites, they had a lot to learn, and God wanted them to learn it. And he wanted to teach them well. We also can look back and say God was protecting them from the Philistines, right? But he also wanted to train them. He also wanted to show them who he is, how he can be there for them, how they can rely on him. They had all these new freedoms that they had never had before. You know, it's kind of like turning the kid that we had in the car, turning him loose in a candy store and say, do whatever you want. All right? Scary stuff, okay? They had all these freedoms. They wouldn't have, you know, it's like, whoa, what do we do? God wanted them to know what to do. He wanted to guide them, direct them, and teach them. Deuteronomy 8:2 says this, you shall remember all the ways which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So the Israelites saw incredible miracles. They took part in some amazing events that we read about, and it's like, is that real? They took part in some things that people in the world are like, that's just a story. There's no way. But then they find proof of these things. They got to see God work in mighty, mighty ways. Again, I'm talking about myself here, but I look through the story of the Israelites in the wilderness, and I look at the complaining, and I look at the, we'd have been better off in Egypt because, you know, at least we had food. They forget all the bad stuff, you know, after a certain point. And I'm like, why are they complaining? They got to see the Red Sea part. They got to walk across on dry land. They got to see God vanquish their enemies. Bread just showed up on the ground. I love bread, right? Quail I've never had. I don't know. Okay? But they got to see all this great stuff. And why in the world are they complaining? And then I can apply that to my own life. God's done this for me. God's done this for me. Not enough. I complain. That's just me, though. I complain. I forget what God's done for me, or I don't think it's enough, or it didn't happen the way I wanted it, so I complain. So you guys can pray for me after service, okay? So what can we learn from this? What can we learn from the Israelites in the wilderness? First thing we need to remember, that if we have accepted Christ into our heart, we have some new freedoms ourselves that we didn't have before. We have freedom from sin. Now, it doesn't mean we don't sin, because we do. I'm sorry, I do, okay? No, we all do. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God, right? But we have forgiveness. We have grace. That's a freedom we don't have when we're in the world. God forgives us. We may still hold on to that sin. We have that memory of it. And there's still some consequences for those sins, absolutely. Those aren't eliminated, but we're forgiven. So that's a freedom that we didn't have before we accepted Christ. If you haven't accepted Christ, you can have that freedom too. So it's important for us to understand we have some new freedoms. Maybe some of us have been bound by, you know, I'll just call it religion. You know, there's these certain steps, and that's the only way you can follow God. And if you, you know, get off of one of these, then forget it. You're done. That's not the way it works. There's grace. There's forgiveness. Should we follow after Christ? Are there certain things we should do? Yep, for sure. But the beautiful thing is God still loves us when we mess up. He still cares about us, and he forgives us. Are you getting my point? All right, just making sure. So we get some freedoms out of accepting Christ. So what can we learn from this? First of all, getting to the promised land isn't easy. I'd say that's true. If you're going through a wilderness experience in your life, and that can be finances, health, relationships, work, anything. The thing about a wilderness is they're all different. You know what they say about the only minor surgery is surgery happening to someone else? Same way with the wilderness. The only minor wilderness is someone else's wilderness. Because if it's happening to you in your life, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And so getting to the promised land, getting through that wilderness is never easy. I have looked and looked and looked in the Bible for that easy button scripture where it's like, hey, once you accept Christ, piece of cake. It's not in there. Nowhere is it in there. In fact, the more I read, the more I'm like, it seems to get harder, right? Following Christ is not easy. Having faith in God during those moments of things that we can't control is not easy. It's just not easy getting to the promised land. It's work. It's just work. It's not easy. The beautiful thing is, another thing we can learn is God will help us. He guides us. He protects us. Even though the journey to the Israelites had to seem like the craziest, craziest route, because instead of basically going like this, they go down and back up and all this. Sometimes those routes are important. The path is important. That's where we learn things. That's where God guides us to help us to understand more about him, to trust in him, to have faith in him, because we need that faith. So even though the path may seem counterproductive, may not seem like the easiest route, that's okay. Those are the times that we probably learn the most. And the obstacles that come up in your life, they seem to get bigger and bigger and bigger. To God, they're nothing. They're still small. They're still nothing to him. He will fight for us. He will give us victories in areas that maybe we've only known defeat. But it's because we're relying on him. Next thing that you can learn from the Israelites in the wilderness, God will provide. Here's the tricky thing. He doesn't always give us what we want. That's where we kind of get a little crazy sometimes. It's not always what we want. It's what we need. And sometimes we don't realize what we need. A six-year-old doesn't need the keys to the car, right? Sometimes it's just what we need and not what we want, and we get confused and we think God's not providing. But God does provide. Next thing that I've learned is hard times bring out who we are, but it gives us the opportunity to grow. Now, see, when you're going through a bad situation, I think it's fine if you gripe and complain. I think God thinks it's fine if you gripe and complain. But then you need to realize God's got this. God's protecting me. God's with me. God's leading me. And then you stop griping and complaining, and you do what they did and write the songs of, you know, praise, right? Even before you've gotten to the promised land. Because God is there with us. And as if we're gonna go through these hard times, we might as well use it and grow, right? We might as well use it for good and grow. And so, yeah, you can gripe and complain, but then, like I said, realize that God is still there with you. And just, when I was younger, I griped and complained more. I'm griping and complaining less and less. I've still got a long way to go, don't get me wrong. But it's like, you know what? God's been there for me through so much that he's got it. I just got to trust that he's got it. I just have to, because I don't have it. I can't take care of this. Anybody ever been there? Okay, good. At least two of you. The rest of you, if you got an iPad, you can break that out, okay? But hard times tells us who we really are. Who are we really? Think about those moments you're going through something. Who are you really? Like I said, it gives us opportunity to grow, to get better. Don't get negative in those moments. It's easy to get negative when things aren't going well, and they can take over. But you know what? They're going to send you on a different journey, a journey to nowhere. There are many of the Israelites that never saw the promised land. Why? Because they decided to choose their own path, build their own idol, do something they shouldn't have done, and they missed the promised land because of that. Don't miss your promised land. Just stay on the path that God has for you, even when it doesn't make sense, especially when it doesn't make sense, because God's got a reason. There's something that you can learn from it. There's some way that it's going to increase your faith. God's got this. Got to remember that he's faithful. One of the other things that I learned was God hasn't forgotten us. Because, like I said, many times we think, God's not here. He's forgotten me. Again, it's probably because of something we wanted and not what we needed, because he provides for us the things we need, like I said. But we think, things are bad. This is horrible, the things I'm going through. He has to have forgotten me. But you know what? Something that, the one thing that I'm probably actually good at in my spiritual life is remembering what God has done for me in the past. So I've only got like 10 million other things to work on. So at least I got one. But I do remember different spots in my life where God absolutely 100% was with me. And if God was with me then, he's going to be with me now. He's not going to just leave me. I mean, I tell some pretty bad jokes. I don't mean like dirty jokes. I mean, just they're not good. They're not funny, right? Okay? But I think he still hangs out with me. I'm positive he does. He hasn't forgotten us. He wants to be with us. He cares about us. He's not forgotten us. I want to share with you one of my stories. And I don't normally get too deep into stuff that I don't like to talk about, but this is one I just feel like I've had to share today. I got permission from my wife, and so she told me I could go ahead and share this. But there was a really rough time in our life that I hope you don't think less of us afterwards, but I don't have a choice. I'm going to share it with you anyway. So about 10 years ago, we came to Yorkville to come here to New Life Church. And at that moment in our life, we were living in Indiana. I was a children's pastor in Indiana. Been there about, I think, 8 years, and we had just bought a house. Okay? Now, if you remember back 10, 11-ish years, how was the housing market? Pretty horrible. Historically horrible. Historically horrible. We bought a house right before all that. Okay? But we were prepared to stay in Indiana, so we weren't really too concerned. But it wasn't too long after that that the lead pastor at the church decided to go and plant a church in Arkansas. Like, that's great. My boss is leaving. And usually in the church, when new leadership comes in, they tend to want their own people, right? Now, I am a wonderful person, but not everybody likes to hang out with me, okay? The new lead pastor came in, and they were going to keep us on. That wasn't really an issue, but I knew it was time for us to leave. We just had a whole different philosophy of ministry. Great guy, nothing against him at all. Loved him, but it just... We were just two very different people, and it was time for us to go. I felt like God was telling us to go. Problem is, we had this house. First time we'd ever bought a house. Great timing, man. I mean, if you could make a bad decision, this was it times 10, right? And I should preface this a little bit. After we found out the lead pastor was leaving and really no decisions had been made, Laura had to have surgery, which was right after she lost her job. So we bought a house. No job, can't get a job because of surgery. It's like, this is going well. This is really what we want. And so we had two young girls at the time as well. So loss of job, surgery, house, church leadership change. So we're looking around for a new church. Sorry if this is boring, but it all goes somewhere. Trust me. We're looking for a church, and we actually were contacted by a church in Kansas City, Missouri. Now, if you know me, that's a sign from God right there, okay? Because I am from St. Joseph, Missouri, about 45 minutes away. That's where my family is. I am just a hardened and somewhat complaining Kansas City Royals fan. I am a very strong Kansas City Chiefs fan, even though I never expect them to win a Super Bowl in my lifetime. And I love the area. I mean, that's my home, right? So this church had contacted us, and we were going to go out there and visit. And at the same time, about a few, I'd say a week, I don't know exactly, but in that same time frame, I get a call from a pastor, John Lawson, in Yorkville. Now, he was the executive pastor at the time, and Pastor Rick was the lead pastor. And I told him, you know, we were going to go to Kansas City to interview, and he's like, you know what, go there first, and then we'll talk. You let us know if you're still interested after that. So we go to Kansas City. It's going extremely well. I just will say that the church had a former Kansas City Royals pitcher take us to a Royals game while we were there. That is the best perk I've ever gotten out of being a pastor, by the way. And I'm just like, everything was going so well. We met with their board. We met with, you know, obviously the pastor. It was a decent-sized church. You know, they had several pastors we met with. We saw their kids area. We actually did a service there. And they offered us the job. Oh, I should mention, my mom, she really wanted us to go there. Because she was pretty sure the granddaughters would come with us, right? Since they were in elementary school and all. And so, a lot of pressure there. And we loved it. There was nothing wrong with this church in Kansas City. But I just couldn't do it. It's like, this just isn't the right one. That was so depressing. I just got to tell you. So I called Pastor John after telling them that we couldn't come there, just didn't feel like it was right for us and for them, obviously. And so talked to Pastor John. Now, if you're wondering, we did come here, okay? So we came to Yorkville, Illinois. The problem still is we still had a house in Indiana that we couldn't get rid of. My wife had recovered, and we thought, you know what, I think we can make this work. If you can find a job as soon as we get there, I think we can pay for rent here and pay for that house until we sell it. And, I mean, we had tried. There was a few bites on the house that we thought was going to happen. Then, of course, last minute. I mean, you know, ebbs and flows of life, right? And so we think we can do this. When we get here, oddly enough, the job market wasn't great either at the time. And so Laura was working a couple of different jobs, but they didn't pay a lot. And so we just couldn't keep up with it all. It was just overwhelming to us. We couldn't get rid of the house. We couldn't get a good job for her. It just was piling on. It was becoming a wilderness that we just absolutely hated. I would come home every night. Laura was crying because just it was so overwhelming. I'm sure many of us have been there. And some of you are like, yeah, that's just life, man. Get over it, right? But it was our wilderness, so it's a big deal to us. All right. I know other people are going through health issues that are a wilderness and all kinds of different things. But this was our wilderness, and it was just horrible. This is where you find out who you are, right? This is where you find out, is God still with you? You know he is, but doesn't feel like it, right? This is where you find all those things out. So we had to declare bankruptcy. I'm not proud of any of it, but I'm definitely not proud about that. So through some bad decisions that we made financially early on and then the house and like all this thing I've told you about led up to this moment. We're obviously not guiltless in all this. It wasn't circumstances. We didn't do everything right. But we had to do that. So I had to go in and tell my new bosses, we'd been here not quite a year, our new bosses about this. So talked to Pastor Rick and Pastor John at the same time. We were telling them about it. I'm not a super emotional person, but I'm positive I was crying at the moment because I cannot tell you how broken, embarrassed, horrible that we felt. We just felt miserable. And I thought, they're probably going to fire us because, you know, you're a pastor. You're supposed to have a little higher standard, man, you know? They didn't fire us, in case you're wondering. They talked to us, super kind to us, understood the situation. I mean, they knew we had the house and everything. They knew we weren't just, you know, we weren't buying limos to get to work every day or anything. But they were super, super awesome to us. And I remember a statement that they said in that moment as we're getting ready to do this bankruptcy and everything. And I'm almost positive it was Pastor John. I'm about 99.9% sure. Where he goes, you know what? We don't want you just survive here. We want you to thrive. And in my head, I'm like, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. How in the world are we going to get from here to thrive? Are you paying attention to what I'm telling you, mister? Didn't see it. Did not see it. There was no way in the world that we would ever get from survive to thrive in that moment. Never in my mind. Wasn't even a consideration. Survive was good enough, in my opinion, at that time. Just could not believe the situation. But now, looking back, a little over 10 years now, Laura's got a job that she loves. It's a career for her, one that she never would have thought of getting into ever. She loves it. You know, I mean, is everything perfect? No. But oh my gosh, it's so much better. God got us to our promised land for that situation, for that wilderness. It was no fun. It was not easy. It's still embarrassing to talk about. You know, I hope you don't think less of us, like I said, but it happened. There's nothing I can do about it. I can only use it for good now, right? So I want to say to you, if someone comes up to you in your situation, and they're like, we don't want you just to survive, we want you to thrive. It may be the stupidest thing you think you've ever heard, but it is possible. It is possible through God. You know, God has taken care of us. All those things I listed earlier, we can check them off for us. He was there with us. And if he was there with us then, he didn't leave us, right? He's still with us. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, I'm with you for about 10 days, and then I got other things to do. No, he's always with us because God never changes. That's in there. So the next question is, just when we go back to the Israelites, we say, why didn't he eliminate the Philistines? Why doesn't he just eliminate our obstacles? Why didn't he just get rid of the things that get in our way that are too big for us? Why didn't he just get rid of them? Because those are the moments we grow. Those are the moments that we learn. Those are the moments that our faith grows. Those are the moments we learn to depend on God. Those are the moments that can help others through our example, through our life, hopefully. I can ask you this question. Why didn't Joseph's brothers just like him instead of sell him into slavery in Egypt? Why didn't God just keep David from making dumb decisions? David was called a man after God's own heart, but he just made bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. Why didn't God just stop him from doing that? He could have. Why did Jesus have to go into the wilderness to be tempted? Why didn't God just protect Job? Or at the very least, not tout him as this great, you know, follower of God? Why did Paul go through all the shipwrecks and prison and all those other things? Because God was helping them to be the very best that they could be spiritually, growing them, helping their faith, and in turn, helping ours. Because I know I've used many of those examples in my own life to help spur me on, to inspire me, to encourage me. Can you imagine if those things weren't in the Bible? Can you imagine if we didn't see other people's struggles and see God bring them through them? And those are the kinds of things that help us, that encourage us. And that's what I'm hoping to do today for you. I want to encourage you. Whatever your wilderness is that you've been going through, if you are going through one, and if you haven't, write a book. It'll be a good one if you've never gone through a wilderness. But if you've gone through a wilderness, are going through one, or will go through one, because we all will, just know that God is there. God is going to guide you, and it may not make any sense, and it may not be easy, but he's there, even when it doesn't feel like it. Even when it keeps piling on and getting worse and worse and worse, God is there. He's there for you. It's those hard times that help grow our faith. God has a plan for us. He's preparing us for it, or he's, you know, leading us through it right now. Doesn't mean it's easy. Just means there's a plan. So just as Ryan mentioned at the beginning of service, talk to other people. Encourage them in your stories. You know, let them know your testimony, what God has brought you through. Because God will get you to the promised land. He will. You just have to follow that path that he has for you. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you, Father, even though it's hard. I want to thank you for those hard times that we've had in our lives, Lord. Those moments we can look back and say that had to be a God moment because I couldn't have handled that on my own. I pray, Lord, that we will use those moments to encourage others, to help others to see God's power in our lives, Lord. I pray for those that are going through a wilderness right now, Lord, that might be going through health issues or finances or relationships or work or whatever else, Lord. Whatever wilderness they are going through right now, guide them through it, Lord, just as you guided the Israelites. Help them to see the path clearly, even if it doesn't make sense. Help them to know that you are with them, that you are guiding them. You have your arms around them. You will carry them if necessary. I pray, Lord, that through these hard times, that we will increase our faith, we'll grow closer to you, Lord, and like I said, use it as a witness to others. Help us to recognize the wilderness is not a horrible experience, but an experience that will help us fulfill the plan you have for our life, Lord. It's in your name I pray. Amen.